as you are, so are we, still getting used to our surroundings. And it is with joy, not only do we not have to set up, as Father Melanson said, and that's a treat, but it's a joy to be able to have a service when we want to have a service and not have to worry about, well, is there a place, is there a room, are we going to get bumped? Tonight's a special night because it's a night of really Thanksgiving, but it's not a night that's a spiritual night. It's a kingdom, it's a world night. It's a night of giving thanks for our country and for our forefathers. For those men of vision, for those men who left their mother lands to be able to worship unencumbered by king or some other ruler. And as I was praying about tonight, and God just started showing me a lot of things and started showing me that not only do we owe our forefathers, our founding fathers, great thanks for the works that they have done, but we owe men and women throughout the last 100 years, 200 years that have laid their life down to keep this nation a sovereign nation. And I was taken to a psalms that's called a psalms of praise. It's one of the most beautiful psalms, and yet it's a short psalms that we're going to use tonight. It's Psalms 100. And it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. How we forget that. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. See, I believe that America is a nation that has truly been blessed by God. It was blessed by God because our founders, and I'm leaving out the politically correct about the American Indian. We still did them wrong. But anyway, our founders sought God first. And they gave up everything to be able to serve him. And so I believe that in all of those who give thanks to God and praise his name, our nation should be at the top of the list. Now, you know, we're entering the season that I call the list season. It's a season that we make list after list after list. We make a list for Christmas so that everybody knows what to get us or what we want, or no one gets the same thing. Mothers and dads, you're making lists for your kids and you're sharing them with your brothers and sisters and to make sure that everybody is comfortable. And if you're like it was in my house, my mother went paranoid in this time of year, and she had to make sure that if someone got 3 gifts, someone else had 3 gifts. And then she had to equate the value. So you always got an expensive gift and then you got other stuff. But it all made sense to her. But we're a list. And then come New Year's, we're going to make other lists. We're going to make these great, wonderful, prosperous resolutions of everything we're going to do for maybe 2 minutes into 2014, sometimes a little longer, but we make lists. Well, I'm going to propose tonight that this is a list night. This is a night that we need to make a list of all the things that we're thankful for. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about monuments, about memorials, about remembering the things that God has done. And my list, I'm sure like yours, would include many of the same things, like health and family and friends and the nation we live in, despite all of our flaws. But more than that, this night, more than those things, and maybe it's because a couple of us have been involved for the last 10 weeks in evangelism explosion. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's because this week we were out and I met a couple from Albania. Absolutely clueless to eternity and didn't want to hear. I mean, lost wasn't even a word that would describe where they were. And it's just made me more thankful that I have a God who has a personal relationship with me and who has a personal relationship with you guys and whom we can call on in times of trouble. And we know that he hears our prayer. It's not one of these deals, well, the phone must have been disconnected on the other end. No, we have a personal relationship with a God. And so I'm even more thankful tonight for my salvation, for my church family, and the mercies that God shows us day after day. There are times, saints of God, when I know that, and at least I do, I will confess, maybe y'all aren't this way, there are times that I get so caught up in the things that are going wrong that for the life of me, I can't picture anything going right. And if it's not my problems that I'm carrying, it's some of y'all's. And I'm not supposed to carry your problems, and I pretty well can cast them off. But every now and then, there's one that comes so sudden. And so I carry these things, and yet God says, in all things, give thanks. And so I go, well, God, what am I supposed to do? Say, well, I thank you I'm not like that person with their problems? Well, that's no good. No, I'm thankful that we have a God who knows us well, knows our innermost thoughts. I thank God that we have a Savior who I can be really honest with. And if I'm in a foul mood, he doesn't reject me because I'm not Mr. Wonderful. Not that any of y'all would have ever seen that, but my wife certainly has, and Carla can share with you she has. Human is human. Peanut galleries are talking. You don't serve on this rector's council without seeing everybody's frailties every now and then. But I thank God for the mercy that God has shown us. And I was sitting there today thinking about some of the miracles and some of the wonders and some of the awes that have happened in y'all's life that I've been privileged to know part of. Oh, I've been troubled by the bad things too, but I'm encouraged by seeing the faith that you guys have when confronted with adversity. Oh, life might get us down every now and then, but it doesn't keep us down. I remember a sermon years and years ago, which was, If the devil can't get you joy, he can't keep your goods. You know, there's something to that. But has it ever occurred to you that no matter what our circumstances are, what our needs are in any given moment, let's think for a minute of those men and women who, after a horrific journey across unknown lands, unknown waters, came off the Mayflower. They had nothing. And yet, at the end of the first year, so the saying goes, they set aside a time to give thanks. Upon arriving in America, they had no shelter and they had no government agency to help them build a house. They had no transportation except for Pat and Jane, their right and left legs, and where it would take them. And the only food they had to go out to either the sea to catch it or out into the woods and trap it. There was no means of communication, you know, this instant Twitter, text, email, whatever, back to their homeland. There was no Social Security and no Medicare. Man, they were hurting. Their life expectancy was less than the year. And yet they persevered. And as I read the stories of our founders, they persevered without losing the faith. Oh, it was tough. That first winter killed most of them. It was tough. Our forefathers had four human assets that in today's society we tend to minimize. They had the asset of initiative. They had courage. They had a willingness to work. But above all, they had a boundless faith in their God. And it's that boundless faith that we still have to hold on to in times of trouble. It's that boundless faith, and it sounds so strange today when so many in our government and in our nation and in the news media are trying to separate us from the very memorials of our faith, the very things that call us back, to cause us to remember. There's this outright temptation or attempting to pull us away from believing it. But we're still one nation under God. We were then and we are now. Oh, we're fractured. Oh, we don't always get along. But when the dust settles, we're still one nation under God. And nobody has been able to bring it down. Our Declaration of Independence proclaims, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And then it ends with this: "With a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." With firm reliance on divine providence. And we want to move in God we trust. All for it, all dollar bill. In 1789, George Washington made a public proclamation. And I'm only going to read a little piece of it. But it says, "By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey His will and to be grateful for His benefits and humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas, both houses of Congress," oh my gosh, back then they agreed with each other, "both houses of Congress have by joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public praise, thanksgiving, and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 27th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the benefactor, author of all the good that was and is and that will be." I don't have to tell you how far we've come. And I can say we've come that way only in the last 50 or 60 years. That was a presidential Thanksgiving proclamation. We can assume that regardless of what our forefathers, our founding fathers went through, they were in their hearts collectively grateful. Oh, there were agnostics there. There were atheists there. But collectively, they gave praise to God. And I want to take this 100th Psalms tonight, and I just want to point out God, what God says for us to do. Because we forget sometimes who we are. We're ashamed sometimes in a crowd at work to proclaim the living God. We like to say, oh, it's by my demeanor that they will know. Well, yeah, they will know. They'll know you're weird. They'll know you're antisocial. They'll know that you run away from them. They'll know a lot of things. But God says, call upon me. And so if we look at Psalms 100, first we got to realize it was written for the people of Israel. For God had said to them, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes and you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness and brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. The word for Church of Messiah, when we get comfortable, and Father Looker has gone through great lengths to say how he loves this place, and I agree with him. But he also knows, don't get comfortable. This isn't our permanent address. Don't get comfortable. God's got something else for us. He's going to stretch us. We're going to be a bunch of Gumbies. He's going to stretch us right, and he's going to stretch us left. He spent the last 7 years stretching us. Some of you don't realize that, but he has. It doesn't take long to realize that Israel, if you follow the history, while God had said, don't forget me, had a very short-term memory problem. And they quickly forgot who their God was. I think God also has written this Psalms for us today, for this generation, because I find it interesting that in the first verse, it's addressed to all you lands, everywhere. And in the last verse, to all generations. See, this is an everlasting sign to us. This is an everlasting word to us that we need to know. The basic of thankfulness is to remember that we got here with the help of the Almighty. And that he is the provider of every blessing we have. Of every blessing that is in my home. Of every blessing that is in your home. He is the provider. And does that mean bad things shouldn't happen to us? The Bible only promises us thorns and trials and tribulations. It never promises a rose garden. It promises to stretch forth our faith. But here's the commands that we're going to find in these very short 5 chapters. Verse 1, it says, shout for the joy to the Lord, all ye earth. Don't go around going, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, God was really good to me. Yeah, he did that. Yeah. No, it says, shout for joy. Give great joy to God for the presence in your life. Don't be ashamed. In fact, the word says that if we're ashamed of God, he'll be ashamed. Jesus will be ashamed of us. But we're to proclaim him. The shout, it means to shout with force of a trumpet blast. I can remember first coming to the Lord and I getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And someone told me that the best thing you can do for anyone that just got baptized in the Holy Spirit is lock them away for 6 months in a rubber room so they won't hurt themselves or anyone else. And I really tried to bash everybody. But God and I would have, from here to Pensacola, I'd be driving and we'd talk the whole way. I mean, it was great. The other day he reminded me he hasn't moved. His address wasn't changed. If I'm not talking, I'm also not listening. And so he's calling me back again. See, maybe God has solved some of your problems in life. I think he has. Sometimes the solving, by the way, is no And none of us like that. Maybe he solved some of your problems. Maybe he's given us direction. We're here in this building because you guys prayed. And within 30 days, we had a contract signed. We were at our wits' end. Now, why we didn't call you to pray sooner than that? Dumbness on our part. But